Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 115, Episode 5 of Your Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers
fuck
and
off.
Buck Box News.
Oh, fuck off.
It's Friday, January 10th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I'm your only trend. I'm not your only trend, but I'm a little growing trend. But really, I'm not actually your trend, but I am. Blue Canary in the outlet by the Zeit Switch. Who watches over you? That is courtesy of the Zeit Be Giant and Saucy Buckaroo on Twitter. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Gray, the soggy fry king, a.k.a. the soggy bottom boy, a.k.a. limp fry guy, a.k.a. the half-baked potato, a.k.a. Mr. Mashed Potato Sticks, a.k.a. Spuddy Buddy. Thank you so much
buddy,
to
huh?
Freddy Bidet at Buns Ahoy for that soggy fry themed, a.k.a. strip.
And we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious comedian, David Huntsberger.
Hello, guys. I don't have a whole bunch of aliases.
Hunts. You don't?
Yet.
Burger King.
David.
Right. Yeah, David. The Dave.
The
Dave,
David.
David. David.
The David.
The Dave.
David Huntsberger.
On the Huntsberger.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fox Hunt.
Sperger.
Yep. King.
Now we're
great. Now
Leon.
We got it. Oh, Leon.
Ardo
let,
DiCaprio.
Leon, let me be mine.
Oh, so boy. This is going to be the show for today. Just an unending string.
What was your AKA song based off of?
I always know I nailed it when you ask that question.
Well, in my mind, I was
they
hearing...
might be giants. The song is Birdhouse in Your Soul.
Oh, I was hearing Hey There Delilah. Blah, oh. blah, the that's not what I was
yeah,
hearing.
I give off very strong Hey There Delilah vibes.
Hell yeah,
I've
dude.
I've always done that. Plain White Tees.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. Them?
That's I think so.
Great.
Yeah, of course, bro. All right. Dave, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today, such as the need to write out 2020 on checks. 2020. On checks. Do you need to do it? Can you just write 20? We'll find out.
Who knows?
At 11. Iran probably shot that plane down by accident, based on some video that has emerged. And even Trudeau is saying it with his... new beard. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk
about
his
new wife.
Yeah. We're going to talk about Mike Bloomberg being maybe a creep. whether Donald Trump is white Trump supporters OJ.
Yeah. That's probably the most, I get that.
Yeah, I can feel that
I can wrap my head around that.
Yes.
He's our OJ. Look,
look, man. We're going to talk about all of that. Harry and Meghan quitting their job, I guess. Do they have a job?
Yeah.
Kind of.
Or whatever.
Apparently,
whatever you call it.
They are officially on the payroll. We're going to talk about Woco Bell. Really good wordplay there from us. All of that and plenty more. But first, Dave, we like to ask our guests, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
As you know, I normally don't have much. Lately.
right. Not using Google.
Off the grid.
Although I was.
You go to the library like a human.
Yeah,
looks up the information there.
Yeah, and I
using a card catalog system.
It's a lot of VPNs and borrowing other people's social security numbers, going to the library, getting the information, making sure it's not traceable in any way to me.
Nice.
But recently, I have been doing English to Spanish. I've been speaking a lot of Spanish, and so my Spanish goes pretty smoothly. And then I get to a word I don't know, and I don't know how to like go around it. So I'm just moving along, and then I go. And then I look it up.
Yeah.
And then, so the other day I was speaking and a guy goes, "Hey man, are you also from Guatemala?" I was hanging out with a friend of mine.
Damn, somewhere. Look at your pronunciation.
Yeah.
That somebody was like, "Are you from Guatemala?"
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think he was busting my chops.
Okay.
And
I was like, "Yeah, I'm from Atitlan." Right there.
And you didn't know the word for no?
like,
how do I answer this?
Nunca, is that right? Last year when I was in the hospital, I was in Puerto Rico, and a nurse came in, and a couple times this happened, and they would go, "Jesus?" And I go, "No." And then, but I'd be like, "All right, I'm doing it."
Is it because you had long, it wasn't a reference to your long Jesus-like hair?
I had the hair, and then I had like a little more maybe facial hair than currently. Oh.
And you had
linen
underpants on with a six-pack?
I mean, I didn't like the bed, so I was kind of up on the wall, just kind of strapped in.
Yeah.
Did a little workout. I grabbed these two pegs as far as I could.
Come get me if you need anything. I'll be hanging
shoulders
from these pegs.
Doing butterflies.
Yeah.
It's great. It's really good for your shoulders.
What was the word you had to look up, though, just for the record?
Oh, it's just anything. It's usually like the verb for something and then the tense that it's in.
Right. So conjugations, like, baby.
Yeah. So if I'm like, "Oh, how do I say, do you need?" Like, "Can I necessitate that?" But then I'll be like, "Wait, how do I say I'm going to look or something like that?"
Voy a
buscar.
Look for.
Mm.
See.
Mm-hmm.
You would have known that if you watched Buscando Amor.
Searching for love, is that
on Telemundo, baby.
What's something you think is overrated?
This is lazy, but, and you guys have probably talked about this bunch. I think two parts. I think Yeezys. And I think just shoe culture in general is overrated in that you're celebrating people that are just being worked to death in third world areas. Like the fucking whole Nike debate is ridiculous to me. People on both sides, I think, are idiots. I think Nike is a corrupt corporation that takes advantage of the impoverished and has and no regard for, and like when Jordan wouldn't go. Tiger Woods didn't go. I'm like, "You go check a look at those sweat factories."
Wouldn't go
check it out.
Sweatshops.
Yeah, like, "You're going to go look? Oh, I'll go look." And then they never went. Because, like, you know, like, the moment they did, they go, "Oh, God, what am I doing? I'm perpetuating this thing where people feel comfortable opening up a closet with, like, 1,000 pairs."
Right.
But Yeezys look the most like someone, like, a kid had a project to make shoes and they had. Like a tube and like some marshmallows and
marshmallows and aqua socks. And he was like, "All right,
taped them on."
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they got to get those shoes cheaper, man.
Right.
I'm addicted.
My main thing is they cost too much.
I blame my parents for saying I couldn't have shit when I was a kid.
Yeah,
but yeah, no. It's. I think that's one of the hardest thing about living in the age of consumption and flex culture. Of like, you can't flex ethically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're like, "Check out my school for children." That's like free.
Right, right.
But why are billionaires doing that all of the time? Doesn't that seem like that
because
would
that
be a
costs
game they
money
get into? Yeah, but I
that
mean,
they can hoard.
Right.
That's true.
You get to be a billionaire by hoarding money and not giving any of it away. So therefore.
I mean, I just think about people like that one character in Silicon Valley. Like, if people who are like worth just on the dot $1 billion, if they're like in this state of like right. economic edging constantly, right. like, oh fuck,
yeah,
fuck, no. I almost became a millionaire.
Yeah, you lose a comma, you get disinvited from those Eyes Wide Shut parties.
Right,
you start absolutely. To have to go to sex parties with millionaires. Yeah,
gotta hang out with Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
Oh, and I guess that'd be billionaires too.
Yeah. He mixed it up, but that's what was so groundbreaking about Epstein is he didn't differentiate when it came to his sex parties. He would right. invite billionaires. He would invite 500 millionaires.
Wow. Oh.
Guy was groundbreaking. What is something you think is underrated?
Kurt Vonnegut.
Okay.
Everyone knows him, knows the word. It's still better than people. It's so good.
Yeah.
It's just great.
Very funny.
Yeah.
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 No, I'm saying very funny. Nice try.
Nice
with that
try,
underrated.
Asshole.
No. I knew I couldn't slide that one in here.
Slaughterhouse 5 is a ripoff of something my uncle wrote.
Yeah.
I remember the reason my dad got me to even be interested in Kurt Vonnegut is that he showed me the drawing of the asshole in Breakfast of Champions. And I was like, I don't know. He's like, you should try Kurt Vonnegut. He's like, yeah. you like funny shit. And I was like, maybe 13 or something. And
yeah.
I was like, I don't know, bro. And he's like, read this part. And I go, what the fuck? This is yeah. in books? Because in my mind, like, people yeah. didn't write funny books.
And that's like a title that would be a work of literature that yeah, you would have like, to sure. read in English class. Right. And then there's an asshole drawn in it. It's like,
I'm like, well, color me Kilgore.
Yeah. Yeah, he's one of the greats.
Yeah.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
I think people are wasting a lot of money on alkaline water.
Okay.
You can't have a human body. It doesn't. You can't like inject something into or take a sample from cells and check their pH level. Your urine right. has a little bit more acidity in it. Otherwise, humans run around mostly neutral. You can't. There are people that have had tons of alkaline water and still died of cancer. It's just a ridiculous.
Alkalize your life, man.
Right.
I dated somebody who gave me the book.
Oh,
like
boy.
I think it was called Alkalize Your Life.
Nice.
And they were just somebody who I think realized they had like a gluten intolerance
mm-hmm.
and didn't want to accept that because they loved pizza. And then it was like, nah, I got to alkalize my life first. And then I can eat them. Like, I'm pretty sure it's just a gluten thing.
Right.
But hey, you know, yeah, do it all.
Mm.
I'm pretty sure for that reason, Taco Bell has to be mostly a base than an acid. I can't feel
sure.
like it's not. It doesn't run acidic in your body.
Yeah,
yeah.
Although my intestines,
because how would that food not just give everybody horrible indigestion, heartburn, like
yeah.
acid reflux?
They don't put a lot of jalapenos for it being like a you know.
Yeah.
Well, because is it technically a Mexican restaurant?
I was gonna say like don't say yeah. It's from another dimension.
Yeah,
it's like a colonizer crossed the border, like a trans-dimensional border yeah. into another place. Where he's like, I heard tell of these double crunch gordita lupas.
I mean, technically, that's probably what food will be like in the future when no food is actually made from plants
yeah.
or like, animals. It's all just like you know.
Dude, with
chemistry paste.
You yeah. know the whole thing with cloud kitchens and like very – so LA has a ton of them because there's such urban density in areas, but maybe there's not a cheesecake factory within 5 miles.
Oh,
so they have cloud
God.
Kitchens.
Nightmare
that,
scenario.
I'm sorry to even bring it up. It's
oh
too terrifying
God.
Of a thought.
What?
But say you have like your favorite Thai food. It's 5 miles from you, which mm. doesn't sound like a lot, but in LA that's at least an hour.
Yeah.
So then these cloud kitchens operate in really weird areas. They're just like in a warehouse, but it'll be like 5 restaurants together. All of the Uber Eats drivers show up
oh,
there.
Oh, right, right, right.
So
and they're just cranking it out, yeah.
Cranking it out. They have the right bags and everything. So when you get it, your human brain doesn't go, wait, how did this get here? This place
right.
is an hour away. And
right.
this order was here fresh and hot in 10 minutes.
Huh.
But if they could, in those shops, not only have that sweet quick service, but also be manufacturing it in the back.
Right.
Like we have Impossible Burgers. We're making all of our own
right.
stuff.
Yeah.
That's the future. So
yeah.
Taco Bell is kind of way ahead of the game there.
Thank you oh, so much. And if Demolition Man taught us anything, they did win the franchise wars.
They did.
So.
Like all of them. Aren't cars like Taco Bell branded?
I think the gag was like, all our restaurants are Taco
right.
Bell.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, what? And yeah. Dan Cortez is playing on a piano.
Yes.
Valley of the Jolly Green Giant.
Dan Cortez.
I remember that movie
Greatest
too well.
Cortez.
Yeah.
Dan Cortez. AOC second.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
But different
spot. What about...
Nope. Wrong. Dan Cortez is number one.
Definitely not the colonizer.
Let's talk about... are you guys writing 2020 on your checks yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Haven't written any checks.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like today?
In 2020.
I've written like five.
Yeah.
I'm just out here. I pay for everything with checks, man.
Yeah.
Just tear them off. It doesn't matter how much it's for.
It just sucks. Like, so many places don't take them, though. Ugh.
No, I have heard. I haven't written, had to write the date, I think, on anything yet, but I have heard people complaining about forgetting to change it to 2020.
What do you mean?
Like from 2019. And then there are some forms that have 201 blank on them. So
Need new ones.
That's a problem.
Well, but that was like this thing, right? That was going around New Year's. I remember getting, I was on some chain email from a random aunt or uncle being like, gotta write 2020 all the way out in your checks because you never know. Someone could change the date from 1-1-20 to 1-1-2021. And then they could cash it in later. It's all like based off this idea that because it's 20, now you can alter the years and things like that. But I mean, while I understand the logic of it, like many of the people who are like in the consumer protection, like scam watch industry are like, this really, I mean, there's a lot worse things to be worried about than this because A, as you know, checks aren't being used as often as they should be, dude.
Yeah,
right.
And
as
also,
as they should be.
Yeah,
and also, people like, should be using more checks.
More checks,
damn it.
And then that like number tampering on a check is even more uncommon. It's like very uncommon that like people are doing that. But
I think because you catch it immediately, right?
Yeah, and I think also that it would be. I think the second someone contests it, they'll be like, "No, that's not what this was." And also, I think but a lot of the experts are saying it reminds them of like this Y2K thing because the changing of the decade and the number change is fuel. It's like it's just makes enough sense to get people like all, you know, a flutter over it.
New number anxiety.
Yeah.
You just have that's too much change for our brain.
Is it an age dependent thing or is this something we're going to outgrow as a society where we just stop saying, wow, can you believe how it's getting dark so quickly? Oh, man, can you believe it's already a new year?
I can tell you that I have started saying that. So I don't know if that now, hear me out. People who I said it on this show and people were like, actually, because of like the way the planet is tilted this year. Actually, I don't think it was that. I think it was just like where we were in the period when we sprung back. It was getting darker a little bit earlier than it was in the past.
You mean fall back?
Yeah, whatever.
Spring forward.
Yeah, spring back.
I respect the equinoxes.
Yeah.
Especially the gyms.
You do. You always have.
Because they give to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Wasn't it Equinox that was giving to Donald Trump? And everyone was like, I'm done with Equinox.
Yeah.
It's Ross, the owner of the Dolphins. And he also is a major investor in Equinox. And then I think SoulCycle.
Yeah. Oh, right. SoulCycle was the other one.
That was a bit. And how did that go? Are all the SoulCycles out of business?
Oh, yeah.
No, they're all
tumbleweeds across the arid just landscape of
worked again.
Of lonely bikes with the faint sounds of EDM pumping in the background.
You know what's cool is to see a tumbleweed in the wild? Like actually see
I saw one up in the hills that was so fucking big.
Yeah.
People
they're
were
enormous.
Having
like
to
a whole
navigate
tree.
It.
Yeah.
And I was like, this isn't a fucking tumbleweed. And I looked, I'm like, oh fuck. It's just like all sticks and like, shout out to tumbleweeds.
I saw one on the highway that Waze had registered as an object in the road.
Like oh, really?
It was, people were like, steer clear of this tumbleweed. But it's almost like seeing like a coyote chasing a roadrunner. It's like, I didn't think that was a real thing.
A tumbleweed?
Yeah. Like, I knew it was, but like, my brain is like,
still like, whoa.
It's like, I expect to see that as much as I expect to see quicksand, which is not a real
thing. Yeah. I think the first time I saw tumbleweeds was like in the desert somewhere when I was like maybe 14.
Right.
And I tripped out.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, fucking tumbleweeds, man. Like the cartoons.
I'm from Nevada, so I saw tons of them.
Yeah. All your friends growing up were tumbleweeds.
Many.
Right?
Yeah. Well, that's how we got places. We would do like the log spinning thing.
Hop in my tumbleweed.
Better get ready to kick.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old. Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
And we're back. And the Iran situation has, according to the president, Iran has backed down. That's
according to his ego.
Yeah, according to his ego, he wins. no backsies, I think was a direct quote. And there was also the matter of the plane that crashed while taking off right around the time that Iran was sending the ballistic missiles at the U.S. bases in Iraq. So people were suspicious of it. There was, I think, cell phone footage of what looked like a plane on fire, flying through the air, and then crashing and exploding. And now there's been more and more footage of that. So it seems people are starting to... people thought from the start that something might be going on, but it seems like the consensus is starting to move in the direction that the plane was accidentally shot down.
Right. I mean, this is part of, you know, the fog of war, as they all say. Like,
right.
Things you're... because because this administration or this president chose to assassinate an official in Iraq, you naturally have now upset whatever balance of peace there was now, and now everyone's on edge,
right?
And you're leading to things like this, and it's I mean, it's just fucking tragic. The so many young people on that plane,
Jesus,
and a lot of people who were like, you probably like Iranians who were living abroad, who were coming to visit family. There were, you know, there were a lot of there were Canadians on the plane. There were Iranians on the plane. The Ukrainian
crew. A lot of
crew.
Canadians, yeah.
Yeah, and a lot of people. I mean, the ages of the people is really tragic. To like, is a lot. I think something like. There's a number of people were born after like 1990
yeah.
on that plane.
So, and I mean, the thought of the number of conversations that involved, you know, the U.S. just killed that guy. Are you sure Iran's the safest place to be going?
Right.
Yeah, mom, you're crazy. I'll be
right.
fine.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
rough.
Well, yeah. I think, just by virtue of the situation, I think, I mean, really, this is a direct effect of this unilateral assassination that happened.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, now I don't know. Obviously, we don't know what the details are of like whether, you know, the radar, like some sort of air defense radar system had painted the plane as it took off. And that set off a chain of events that put them in a defensive posture. But you'd imagine that as a result of this, the killing of Soleimani, that, you know, things are already very elevated and very tense.
I mean, this is a thing that happened constantly or almost happened constantly during the Cold War. Like, I mean, there were all these examples of, you know, an alarm going off or somebody leaving a training tape in the deck at NORAD, and everybody's like, oh, we need to like fire back all our nuclear weapons right now at Russia, and, you know, just cooler heads prevailing at the last minute. But I mean, there's history is full of the human species just not being prepared to deal with the finality of war. Like, we're just not, I don't know, smart enough or capable enough. And there's just too many ways to fuck up.
Yeah.
It just feels so weird, too, to be holding your breath again, sort of collectively. Like, well, 10 missiles aimed at a base. This is the start of it.
Yeah.
Soleimani was kind of like the Franz Ferdinand thing of, okay, there's the first sort of thing to drop, and then, oh, here's retaliation. The fact that no American troops, at least out of the reports, maybe that's wrong. Maybe we're just getting false information.
Now, I'm sure if there was real loss
we'd
of life,
know,
that
right?
would be reported. Yeah.
How is that possible?
Well, I think because there's just such early warning systems that they know to just get into bunkers and stuff.
Yeah. And I think there's also possibly something where Iran didn't actually want to escalate the situation. They knew they had to do something
right.
like this. But they knew that if they killed a U.S. soldier, that would, you know, escalate things more quickly. So they made it easy for them to learn.
It doesn't make them look not inept.
Right.
How'd it go? They dropped like 10? Great.
Right.
And how was it? We took down a plane accidentally.
Right.
That's on me.
Yes.
I messed up.
Yeah.
Did you get any of them? No, zero.
Right.
That's a weird look.
Well, I think it's all, but part of it too is just posturing because, you know, like every, like this country too, you have hardliners who are expecting something and you're like, okay, well, I don't want to fully, you know, put this whole region into a just miserable armed conflict like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, this is where, you know, the Iranians, they're saying like, that's sort of our response. But again, knowing the numerous ways that attacks can be carried out, I mean, it's foolish to think that this is actually the end of it. But, you know, this is where you hope that if they actually had people in foreign policy advisory positions that were actually worth a fuck advising
the
him
Trump
rather,
administration?
Rather than people who are hell bent on just like trying to bomb, you know, other countries who don't yield to this American empire.
Right. And based on like him surfing the news cycle and just whenever he feels like it's going to be a good moment for him to make a big splash. But just with regards to the crash of the airline. So Iran is still saying that the plane had a mechanical failure. Specifically, they're saying the plane's engine overheated. It was making a turn to go back to the airport when it crashed. But the details that don't kind of line up with that. And again, these are early days. Usually investigations into big plane crashes like this take months, if not up to a year. But that doesn't totally make sense because the pilots didn't make a distress call. By all indications, it was a normal flight, and then the plane disappeared from radar, and then you see the plane like in flames falling out of the sky.
And they're not going to turn over the black boxes either.
Right, that's what they said. And yeah, you would definitely have a distress call if there was an engine problem. Like, that would have happened. And then, yeah, there's also these videos where the plane appears to be in flames pretty high in the sky as it falls out of the sky.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, so the theory is that the plane was told that they were entering airspace by whoever ended up shooting them down, and that's why they were turning, was to try and get out of harm's way. But those are just, you know, it's hard to do evasive maneuvers in a 737. Like, that's a massive plane. So obviously we'll keep our eye on that as more news breaks, but it's a fucking terrifying situation.
Because this guy hates Barack Obama.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. Let's talk about Mike Bloomberg.
Yeah. He's not a creep,
no.
It turns out.
No, he's
all right, super... let's vote for him.
Okay,
let's
that's good.
All listen to is what Judge Judy says and vote for him. Yo,
and what
Judge
the people
Judy,
on those
please.
Political ads are
Judge
saying.
Judy, my goodness, I love you, my honor. I
yeah.
like your show.
Yeah,
but I have
too.
To remember, too, you're worth like almost like $500 million.
That's right. Yeah.
So, of course, you don't live in the same planet as most people yes. do. But that video where she's like, I'm a judge. You
yeah.
could judge a character.
Uh-huh.
Mike Bloomberg. Judge Judy.
The
out. But yeah, so now this story's coming out where back in like the 90s, he was in a few different lawsuits for making crude remarks and creating like a toxic workplace for women in the 90s.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, he should be president. Okay. Right. What am yeah, I saying? There we go. All right. That's it. Yeah. And like, there's three cases that are still active against his company, but the whole thing is he's not like releasing people from these NDAs that were signed as a result because a lot of women are saying like, I really would like to talk about Mike Bloomberg, the dude. Not Mr. Presidential Candidate Mike Bloomberg.
Right.
But they're like, but I'm in like these NDAs and I don't want to. And so his whole thing is like, his take on this is you can't just walk away from it. Talking about the NDAs.
Right.
They're legal agreements. And for all I know, the other side wouldn't want to get out of it. Okay.
The other side being the women, who say they want to get out of
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I mean, the shit he was saying like was they said there was during when he was running for mayor. There was like a book of quotes from him in the 90s, and one of the things he said was, if women wanted to be appreciated for their brains, they'd go to the library instead of to Bloomingdale's.
Uh-huh.
Ho-ho!
Boom.
And then
face
said—
Face women? He Wait, said, no, he just won, right?
Yeah,
that,
I guess
that
so.
The whole debate.
Men win forever.
Yeah.
He said then at the time, he goes, they were just, quote, borscht belt jokes.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what I say when a joke doesn't go over well.
Yeah. It's a borscht belt joke.
Blame the borscht.
Can't you hang out in the borscht area?
Right.
I'm surprised he didn't say it's locker room talk.
Yeah.
This, of course, comes in after somebody, I think it was years ago, but it came up again recently when he announced his candidacy that it was a journalist who was really impressed with what he did when it comes to gun control in New York, and they were at like some mayoral dinner and he entered and they like ran up to him and were like, oh man, I really want to say like what a great thing I think he did, and had somebody introduce him, and he like spent 2 minutes telling him like how great it was what he did and why it was great like doing this for gun control, and Bloomberg just turned to him and said, would you look at the ass on that one, about a woman who was
close by. Right.
Yeah. So... That's who he is.
Pretty fit to be president.
Right.
Yeah. I would say, based on the evidence I'm looking at here,
yeah,
he's got a really strong shot at this.
Mm-hmm. He calls him like he sees him.
Hey.
I like that.
Yeah.
I don't want another politician.
Yeah. He's our OJ, which is what they're saying about Trump right now.
I love it.
So Politico.
Which, yours truly. Do you follow OJ on Twitter?
No.
He always opens every, he posts videos of himself.
He's
he
like,
opens
hey,
everyone. Hey, it's yours truly.
Oh, he does.
Hey, Twitter world, it's yours truly. Somebody at the Bills game had a Bills jersey with yours truly written on the back.
Oh, wow.
It was pretty great. Anyways, proceed.
Just Politico, they were, you know, around the time of the impeachment, they like asked for people to respond to this sort of question. They posited, you know, based on what you're seeing with the Ukraine aid controversy that the president is being impeached for, if all the details were the same and you switched out Donald Trump for Hillary Clinton, would you still be so like casual about it?
Right.
And a lot of people are like, it's a false premise. Right. And like other people are like, I reject that.
She nice never try.
Okay, but one man, one brave soul, Keith Swartz from Tacoma, Washington, 66 years old. His response said this. First, this is odd because he describes the president as manic, uneducated, illogical, and essentially a horrible person, vulgar, amoral, and narcissistic. But,
okay.
But this is the thing. He said he's done a fine job in the economy, in particular with all the face of a Democratic opposition that bends the rules and abuses the process for 3 years and like, you know, trying to thwart him. And he says to those who support what he accomplished, it feels like he is our OJ. Now, the guy wouldn't say what he's accomplished, but I don't know. I think it's purely that, like, this guy in the face of he's thumbing his nose at the people I hate. So it's fine.
Yeah. And the economy.
Right. It's although, economy, like, guys, with OJ, you know, you had a lot of, like, black people looking at not OJ's clearly a killer.
Right.
But, like, the energy around it was sort of like, man, this legal system is so fucked up. We see white people skate all the time. It's
right.
Like, whoa, OJ, huh?
Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
Yeah.
And then some people, look, everybody has someone in their family who, you know, to this day is probably like, that didn't happen.
Right.
OJ's innocent.
Right.
Most people have figured out, oh no, OJ bad.
Right.
But this whole thing is sort of like, I don't know where Trump, you know, I don't know where he lines up with that exact energy aside from just feeling like white people feel like they're being oppressed. I don't know.
The trial, I mean, you watch the documentary, you see, like, they show old footage from 93 when the trial was happening. Yeah. People every day would show up with signs, you know, that's that rally energy. That
same
thing of like, I'm here, I'm wearing a shirt, I made a sign, I'm psyched, I'm showing you love
and
support.
There's other people who agree with me. Yeah.
And there's power in the numbers involved in that where, like, you can tell some of them, like, the look in their eye, if someone just pulled them aside privately and was like, all right, let's get you some breathing and some water.
Right.
Now, I want you to just read this report here and look at these crime scene photos, and then do you still feel the same way?
Right.
Right.
And that would be the same thing, I think, with Trump. Like, people go, what'd he do? If you just started going like, let's start with grabbing by the pussy. Let's just start there. Then let's go to Stormy Daniels. Just these character things to begin with.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird because that guy knew, like, it was weird. He was able to articulate that. Now, I don't know if he's just around so many, like, progressive liberal people that he's just learned how to be like the sane conservative or something. It was like, no, I get it, man.
Right.
He's disgusting. He's a narcissist. But the way he gets these brown people
to
upset.
The Browns.
He's my OJ.
Sticks it to the Browns in both cases. All right. That's a terrible joke.
Wow.
I'm going to leave forever.
Don't forget to tip your server.
It's definitely a false equivalency, though, because, you know, on one hand, you have the aggrieved party being people of color who have been discriminated against and, like, put in prison for not doing anything for years and years and years, like, the entire history of America. And in the other case, Trump is getting back at the world for, I don't want to completely, like, diminish what the complaints of rural America, but it doesn't feel like it's the same thing. I think if one person from rural America was falsely imprisoned,
it's purely like, well, you had a bad guy who you refuse to say is bad. And I think that's sort of where it stops.
Yes.
Like, there's nothing about it. And in the end, I mean, like, just even when looking at some of the other defenses people were offering, it was just like all whataboutisms. It was never like, I will engage this like theory directly or this question directly. I'll just be like, yeah, but like, you don't know, like, Clinton, like, Clinton body count. Like,
I mean, they do have a good point. Clinton body count.
I mean, hey, you know, like, let's look at what happened to Epstein. What happened to those tapes, huh?
Ooh.
Put on that tape. How did it get destroyed?
How that one tape got destroyed. They recently announced that another tape, the tape
of his cell
from the first quote unquote suicide attempt, got deleted. Whoops. just got deleted.
So crazy. I was going through my DVR. I was like, okay, I've already seen that episode of Dr. Pimple Popper.
Right.
And then I hit delete. I go, wait, I think I just deleted the Epstein footage.
Right. The Epstein suicide
shit.
Attempt. I mean, that's interesting because that was one of the more mysterious aspects of the whole thing. You know, he had this weird thing where he was like, I got assaulted, and people were like, he tried to kill himself, and then they were like, we're going to put him on suicide watch.
Right.
Psych, we're not going to.
Psych, we're not. Your cellie's like, a corrupt cop.
Right.
Like, oh. What
did you guys see the original deposition stuff when his, like, his attorney's with him? You see the footage from, like, you kind of see, like, a guy's, who's in a suit, maybe from behind him, bit of an arm, some shoulder. You see mostly on Epstein. And then the guy is very straight-faced trying to get to the bottom of these questions going, okay, question two, is it true or not that your penis is can be defined as egg-shaped?
Yeah,
and then he just
that.
Shakes his head. I don't need this.
Like, right.
And then his lawyer chimes in, and the person taking the deposition goes, no, this is
material.
This is material. This is absolutely
to the,
like,
case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's described as being narrow at the base, wider in the middle,
narrow at the top.
And I was so mad at the suicides, I mean, the fucking killing, because I want to get to the bottom of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know that we'll ever have that answered. And that would have been the first domino to fall, and then
I think it's been confirmed he has an egg-shaped penis. It's more
it
of,
has?
Yeah, yeah. He does have an egg-shaped penis.
It's more of a lava lamp.
Right.
Ah, okay.
Well, no, it's narrow at the bottom. Wide in the middle, narrow again at the top.
It's like a lava football.
Too.
Like a lava lamp.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little lava lampish.
Oh, okay. I see it.
Or a butt plug.
Yeah. Okay, butt plug. Yeah, there we go.
Boom.
Now something I'm familiar with.
Moving on.
I think the reason it was material and they have enough people who have confirmed that it's egg-shaped because, you know, the people he sexually assaulted who he claimed not to have all confirmed it.
People sometimes ask me, sorry to jump in, I just had this epiphany. People sometimes ask, like, oh, you like sports? I go, yeah, but I'm not, like, proud of it. I go, why?
Right.
Some of it's because of the idiot nature of, like, painting up your face and dressing all crazy. But now I realize the real reason is it's the perfect distraction for billionaires
right.
to see what we're really interested in. 50,000 people all gathered together yelling and screaming, and they're there. They're going, hey, you know when you're being asked by the March of Dimes to donate your money and I could cover the whole fucking bill?
Right.
I'm not, and I'm right here among you watching the idiots buy my popcorn and my beer for $12 a beer.
Yep.
$12 a beer? Where are you
this
going?
This is the cheapest stadium in the country.
Yeah,
you can get
$12 a beer? I'll go there right now.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
oldest girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by oldest girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and some Republican senators are mad at their bae because the Trump administration gave them a briefing on the assassination of Soleimani. It was condescending, it would seem.
It was, you know, everyone was sort of like, hold on, if y'all are really trying to meddle around, like really fuck around and trying to find out what a full-on, like full-scale armed conflict will look like in the Middle East, you need to have some fucking receipts here. Because, like, even though, yes, we love Trump, there's still, like, we still have to sell this to other people.
Right.
So what the fuck happened? Apparently, at this briefing, it was a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
One of the first complaints that both Republicans and Democrats had was, I didn't hear anything that I didn't read on the news in this briefing.
Yeah.
So, like, when they were like, what about this imminent threat? They're like, well, look, this is the thing.
Just and do a book report on what it says on Fox News, guys.
So
that'll work.
So right after that briefing, naturally, Democrats are like, this is a fucking disgrace.
Right.
Like, what they just tried to sell us in here. Like, it was a non-briefing, which just it looks terrible for the administration. But you also had Rand Paul, who's already been kind of vocal. Like, he was very upset about, well, I mean, seeming outwardly upset by the move to assassinate Soleimani. But then Mike Lee, who's also pretty much like a nailed on Trump vote for anything.
Yeah.
The two of them came out and they were fucking heated. So this briefing must have been, I mean, the briefing has to be bad when you have sycophants come out and they're like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
And just listen to Mike Lee describe what this quote unquote briefing was like.
The worst briefing I've seen, at least on a military issue, in the 9 years I've served in the United States Senate. What I found so distressing about that briefing was that one of the messages we received from the briefers was, do not debate, do not discuss the issue of the appropriateness of further military intervention against Iran. And that if you do, you'll be emboldening Iran.
Yeah, that's what a authoritarian
government. Hey, shut the fuck. What are you going to debate whether or not we should drag our these countries into war? Yeah.
Imagine being one of these dudes having to go have a town hall, which I thought was so funny during the impeachment here. They don't want to hear from America.
Right.
Like none of them have had a fucking town hall in a year. And then you have to go have this town hall and like there's no national security advisor, Department of Homeland Security, all these head positions are empty.
Right.
And then we've perpetuated this ridiculous narrative that the whole reason this impeachment sham is happening is the deep state. Can't trust the intel. Can't trust the CIA or the FBI.
Right.
Who fucking gave you this knowledge? Who gave you this intel that was so crystal that you could trust it and go get it, if it were not just you trying to do what you went on video in 2011 to say Obama would do,
right,
which is start a war to get reelected.
He doesn't remember that.
Sadly. He was not.
It's like, Dad, you said that like 7 years ago, years ago.
In his in his briefings from Trump Tower.
From back, his cluttered ass
desk. Yeah. When he was running for president, we looked at that when I worked at Cracked. Cody Johnston found that channel. And it had, like, those videos had like 3,000 views. Like, right. Nobody watched them at all. Like, even while he was the leading candidate for presidency. But yeah, it was just an obscure place for him to rant.
Yeah.
And it's shocking to me that there's still people who are like, wait, they're behaving like authoritarians? It's like, where have you been, Mike Lee?
Well, it's, I think it's like, to a point, people are so, factioned off and so partisan that you're in your mind, you're like, well, that's my team.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't get that you're like, wait, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To a point. But again, I don't know what this actually means because they never, like, that full interview or that their comments they gave after, they never go at Trump's neck, like, directly.
Right.
Like,
if you watch the whole long version, he starts it with going, I'm a big fan of the president. I think he's done a wonderful job. He's been an excellent leader.
Thank God he de-escalated. But what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. But that briefing, I mean, they must have had, like, that must have been a rough draft that somebody gave. That seems to be their answer
lately.
Send
early.
Yeah, hitting send early. They keep doing that for some reason.
They just knew. I think they really thought maybe these people would just be, like, lockstep with the president and be like, no, this is what it is, y'all. Come on. You have your notes. Now sing the song.
I mean, when Bush wanted to go to war in Iraq, he fabricated all the CIA intelligence. They got like America's most trusted military mind to like go before the UN and just lie through his teeth.
Yeah.
And like, they're just like, here's a book report about what it says on Fox News. Now, if you question it, I'm going to fucking end you on Twitter.
Well, and also like they realize how different the dynamics are. Like they used a lot of political capital to get the Iraq war to happen. Like,
oh yeah.
And to the point where everyone goes, what the fuck do we do?
Yeah.
I mean, any sane person was like, we should not be doing this. But the other people who want to pretend like they weren't part of the war machine are like, oh, that was a mistake, huh?
Yeah.
But I think now, like, they're doing, like, this shitty sequel version that everyone has already seen, plus it's low-budget CG graphics in it. Like, no one's falling for it this time, or many people don't. And I think they also aren't taking into consideration how many people are, like, have been affected by the Iraq war and aren't necessarily being like, yeah, like let's do that. Let's traumatize another generation of people.
Yeah,
like so, But this is the kind of short-sighted, strategizing you'd expect from this administration.
I mean, he definitely had something else in mind when he actually okayed the assassination because he has quickly backed away and been like, no, we won.
No smoke for here. I mean, I wonder how many people just jumped on him. Or, I mean, as much as they can, or people be like, that was really we really got to tell you that was fucked up. But I don't know how that conversation works in this administration because I feel like the last thing people in the White House are going to do is tell the president he's just fucked up.
Someone does, though, because the good people on both sides thing, there was a contrite response with the crazy Adderall and looking back and forth to teleprompters.
Right.
The same way this one was, where his natural reaction is like, do it, press the button, send. And then someone has to go, dude, we're going to write you a fucking speech.
Yeah.
Don't do go it. One word off track.
But I'm saying, who has that? Like, who checks him like that?
Well, I also wonder if he, because I do think the one thing he trusts other than his own gut and Ivanka is what he sees on TV. And so, the footage from Iran of like 3 million people in the streets, like for Soleimani's funeral. The only time that America has had remotely that close to that number of people in the streets are protesting him. So, like, I do wonder if he just, like, sees that and is like, ugh.
Or, I mean, a lot, any poll that he looked at, a majority of people were like, that was the worst thing you could have done. Now I trust him even less. Like, the global poll, there was, like, the one that was, like, 62% of Earth doesn't trust him, like, with his own, like, fucking hair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
let's talk about our...
A brighter future.
A brighter future, that's right. Thank you.
Things are looking up, guys.
Taco Bell.
Talk about it.
They
are on the path for all kinds of wokeness. They want to make all the consumer-facing packaging worldwide recyclable,
now
compostable, or reusable, and add recycling and composting bins in all restaurants by 2025.
And they're going to use that to make their food, right? The
yep, just a nice material. Nice. Exactly. That yeah. composted food becomes your
guys,
next
guys, we shouldn't tier. Knock this. We shouldn't in any way even give a sliver of doubt for companies to catch on to, at least attempting this.
Yeah.
So many major chains don't offer any kind of recycling. People
yeah,
will
just like
give
throw it
option.
All in this fucking hole here.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
And half the time I'm like, I'm going to leave this here in case maybe someone like in my sometimes it's I have like that thing where like I can't throw this in the trash.
Yeah.
Though.
Yeah.
And then you'll be places where like, nah, we don't recycle here.
Yeah.
Or like you'll travel and certain counties are like, yeah, there's no recycling program. Mm. And you're like, oh, okay, I'll take it home with me then.
Such a high percentage of airports. Would you think that's a little bit like higher tiered as far as awareness?
I think it all depends
on the city.
You're not
at a Walmart.
Yeah.
It could be.
Because like in LA, LAX, you have like paper, I think so. Aren't
a little.
Like three,
it's not like universal at every terminal. I think it's baffling. Like rental car companies almost never have it. And virtually everyone at some point stops and gets like a bottle of water. So anytime right. you drop off a car, there should be one there. Little things like that. Like if Hertz adopted the same thing, we could at least start getting behind like, good for you, Taco Bell. Yeah. Yeah. I think we should. I think it's ridiculous that so many giant companies go, well, no one pressured us to.
Yeah, and they're like, well, it's like expensive. So anyway, so what they're also doing is like, we've talked, they're like increasing their college like education fund for like employees and people who are, you know, fans of the Bell. And they're also like been really aggressively trying to be like the number one fast food place for like vegetarian options. Okay, fine.
I well, mean, they already are, aren't they?
For the most part. They,
but they like, don't really advertise that. It's almost like a secret vegetarians know is that you can go to Taco Bell
yeah,
and get
can,
a really good.
You can get it all, baby.
Yeah.
But now what they're trying to do is they're testing a program where they're actually like trying to retain like their top employees, paying restaurant managers up to $100,000 a year, like to get their salaries up to that point, which is interesting because people need to be paid living wages. And I think right now a Taco Bell manager makes like between 50 and 80. So this is some people could potentially double their income, but also like there are some places like In-N-Out. Okay.
Right.
People over there, shit, like locally, everyone knew like you could get a lit ass job at In-N-Out. Because managers there get between 100 and 150,000,
yeah.
Depending on like if you hit your goals and shit. Also, shout out to the soggy fries. I will eat them. I will order light fries.
This is a soggy fry segment because Taco Bell has some very
fries?
Soggy potato options.
Oh yeah. I love them. Yes. Love them. And those chicken roll ups.
Yeah,
like those two. Got to try them all. Got to live Moss, baby.
So just
I'm sorry. All this to say, I'm leaving the Daily Zeitgeist to become a manager at Taco Bell.
Congratulations,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, thank you, man. Come by my store. Store 3328.
I like it.
What's store 3328?
That's my location. Okay. Yeah. So, the one on Ventura.
And I can live Moss there?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about Megxit, as super producer Sophie is calling it. That is Harry and Meghan quitting their job? They
dude,
have a
Megxit
job,
is when Taco Bell got rid of that Mexi melt.
Right. Yeah, that was. Did they bring it back, though?
No, you got it. Look, I can tell people on Twitter all the time, you have to order a cheesy roll-up, add beef, add pico.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay. You're good. Cheesy gordita crunch yesterday.
Okay.
So, apparently, they're not just British-y socialites, which is what I thought the royal family was.
Yeah.
They are employees of the state, sir.
Oh,
and
they're workers.
They make those appearances at the Queen's behest, and the Queen controls all their money, which is wild. But they have a lot of money. They are funded by taxpayers. And they basically mentioned that or made allusion to that in their divorce papers or whatever, like their letter explaining why they're leaving.
Oh, their dear Queen Elizabeth letter.
Yes. They're saying part of their goal is to establish independent wealth. And some people in England are saying that that's kind of bullshit because they're still going to have like $1 million a year protection,
like an endowment
social security
or something.
Type thing.
Well, look, I mean,
or not Social Security, a Secret Service type thing.
Oh, got it.
Right.
I mean, look, Megan should just start acting again. You know, fire it up.
Yeah,
making more money than your man. You can support your wastrel of a husband.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, move out here, like I keep saying, so I can hang with Harry.
I'm saying we need to launch the equivalent of Encino Man for Harry learning what it's like to be a human being in society.
But specifically the San Fernando Valley.
Yes. And Megan is the Pauly Shore character.
It's weird. I should tell Harry, I'm like, hey, man, before we entered our physical bodies, we were just souls up in the universe. And you happened to end up in that body, and I ended up in this one. Who knows? That you could have been me.
Oh, right, because you guys were born the same day.
Same day. Exact same day. So think about that.
Hello, Harry.
Yeah. Hello, but me.
A couple things. So the standard...
Soul brother.
Oh, no.
Soul bro. He's like, that makes me rather uncomfortable.
So people, the comments on Instagram are shockingly mean to Megan and saying she's like a black widow who's...
Oh, my God. Yeah. Really?
Oh, I don't know if the word's black widow, but like that seems to be just the idea that she like kills families. Basically.
I wouldn't be surprised because even in like the tabloids, it's like her exotic DNA.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And then there's another one. She's like straight out of Almost Compton.
Yes.
And I was like, yeah, that was fuck up out what, my face.
That was the headline like after their engagement was announced.
Yeah.
So oof.
Those are real?
Yeah, those are real.
100% like this.
So she's been just awful. Endlessly shit upon for being different, not adapting to royal culture, wanting privacy, for being...
Not white.
Right, not white person from America. Like, there's genuinely racist, like, openly racist stuff on social media, and then, like, codedly or, you know, implicitly racist stuff in the mainstream media. So that's worth keeping in mind, why she wants out of being like hounded by the media. And Harry has PTSD from his mother being literally killed by being hounded by journalists. Like she was speeding away from the paparazzi when her car crashed and like was dealing with all sorts of shit. So I'm not as mad at them as the royal watchers are in England.
Yeah, that all makes sense.
Cool.
I mean, yeah, I just think
I don't know why we still give a shit. Why are we... They're royalty. It's an absurd, antiquated notion that we pay attention to them. That's part of it. It's like we perpetuate it by going, what are they up to?
Yeah.
And then if we all just went like, who gives a shit? They don't do anything.
Yeah. They suggested that Meghan's avocado consumption is responsible for mass murder. That's a real thing.
Well, you can't find
her charity cookbook was portrayed as somehow helping terrorists.
Oh, also, you know, it's fun fact, the exotic DNA line comes from Boris Johnson's sister who works at the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
That's who wrote that thing.
Well, his background is being a conservative journalist.
And overall, just a piece of shit, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just think of a rose you never used your thorns. The ones you loved abandoned you from The Office when David Brent sings the whole song about then rushing through the Paris night, they hounded you lost. Anyway.
Oh, that's goodbye, no? English Rose.
Good night, my sweet princess. That's what David Brent sings at the, I think, what is it? The training episode.
The training episode is one of my favorite. And then he starts singing about aliens coming down and
all kinds of shit, man.
One of the great episodes of TV of all time. Super producer Anna Hosni wanted me to emphasize that, in her opinion, Harry still has PTSD from watching his mother be literally murdered by his grandmother, which is a conspiracy
theory.
Subscribe to
what kind of fucking spicy xenophobic shit was Queen Elizabeth saying to him?
Oh,
like
yeah.
In the beginnings, because you know how you know grandmothers like they take the break off if they really need to get through to you. Like they will damage your whole soul with some shit. She's like...
Like you're saying, I'm Harry and you're her.
Right.
And I'm like, she's just lovely. She's charming. She's so excited to meet you.
I find her hair to be a bit rough.
Yeah.
What, Grandma? What the fuck are you talking about? I mean, again, I'm not surprised from someone who's literally the Queen of England and your grandma, if she had some old school takes on biracial. Because, I mean, what? She was with Dodi Fayed before. That's who could have been her stepdad. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Muhammad Al-Fayed, he put up so much money trying to figure out what the fuck happened.
Yeah. Princess Michael of Kent wore an overtly racist brooch.
Brooch? My good man?
Yeah.
Wait, what was it?
Brooch. It was a, like, blackface thing. Like a...
What the f- Yo, get the fuck out of here, man.
And also, I said that the mainstream media was less overtly racist, but a BBC host compared the couple's newborn baby to a chimpanzee on Twitter. So,
good group over there.
Yeah.
I don't know if this has been said before.
What's her problem?
But I'm going to say something very brave. I think we should cancel the British monarchy.
Yeah.
Sorry. Said it.
Yeah.
They're canceled.
I don't think that's that controversial a take. I think.
And I haven't even read history.
You're not into colonialism, man?
Nah.
Oh, man. Oh, give it a chance.
Yeah. Oh, my favorite form of architecture.
Imperialism? You into that?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's why I live here.
David, it's been a blast having you, man. As always, where can people find you, follow you, and is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
There's a tweet I liked. This is a kind of a two-parter. The first one is let me get the guy's name. It's a stop motion thing from Atul Kesbekar, I believe. A-T-U-L, and it's just this on Twitter. K-A-S-B-E-K-A-R. An astrophotographer has clicked an exceptional video wherein we can feel the rotation of the Earth using a tracking mount aligned with the North Star. He kept clicking images every 12 seconds for the next 3 hours. The camera is looking at the same portion of the Milky Way the whole time. So you just see like the curvature of the Earth as things moving. So normally like it's a tripod and then you see shit going by, but this kind of moves with it. So
cool.
It's really neat.
Yeah.
And then Brendan Walsh, my buddy who goes by Malibu Brendan on Twitter, wrote, "This doesn't prove the Earth isn't flat, though."
Just scientific wonder.
He's gotten really into the hashtag KAG for Keep America Great. He's such a punk on Twitter that it's real maddening to follow him because he pretends constantly to be like a MAGA guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then he also pretends to be his ex-wife,
right.
Trish.
Yeah, Trish.
And then his son.
Yep.
And then what else do you do? Farts Make Me Come is another tweet. He's Farts just a fucking troll.
He's just classic. A child. I lived with a guy. I won't give out his name because he was so embarrassed by this, but he didn't know Brendan at all. And he came home one day and he was like kind of perplexed and sort of beside himself. And he like threw down his keys and goes, "Man, Brendan and his ex got into it today on Twitter."
Oh my God.
That's amazing.
But you can find me at davidhuntsberger.com on Twitter at huntsbergerjunk. And January 14th through 18th, I'll be in Canada in Winnipeg at Rumors Comedy Club. That's coming up next week. And then 2 weeks, or basically a week after that, the 26th, here in Los Angeles at the Dynasty Typewriter. I added a thing. Did I talk about this last time? You can add the code Zeitgang at checkout and get 2 tickets for $20.
Whoa.
Boom.
Would love to have you there.
Hook them up.
Yeah.
Shit.
Get that Zeitgang
in
the mix.
Do it, Zeitgang.
Would love to have you there. January 26th. All the info is at davidhuntsberger.com or you can go to dynastytypewriter.com.
Bung, bung.
Bung, bung.
Did you remember when Brendan Walsh put those stickers on the billboards?
Yeah.
That was like the cell phone. It was like for like one of those like mobile, like pay-as-you-go mobile providers, and it was like a cell phone, but it was a text conversation that said, "Your father passed away last night," and it says, "OMG, what? What?"
Oh, God. Miles, where can people find you, and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Grey. You can also find my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé, with Sophie Alexandra. That's on 420 Day Fiancé, and that's my favorite night show, Day Fiancé. Now.
Love it.
Is there a tweet I like? Yes, there's a couple. And if you weren't clear on those, you should go back to past episodes if you like me that much. First is from The Warax, at I Am The Warax. If the U.S. Army matches with you on Tinder, that's your draft notice. And also, Joe Castle Baker says, "My 5-year plan is to fuck." It's as simple and dumb as fuck.
You already said, in that mishmash, you said...
Also, just on 20th and 25th. The live shows?
Yeah.
People need to know about these live shows.
They do.
Baby. January 25th, Gateway Theater. Thank you so much. In San Francisco. Then January 30th, we're going to be in Portland, Oregon. I mean, look at my Twitter thread. You know, we got tickets everywhere. We're coming for you.
Everywhere.
And for everybody who's asking, what about this place? What about Atlanta? What about... This is just till February. You know what I mean? And then once these places... Clearly, we'll probably be going to Staples Center at some point. I'm pretty sure off the strength of these smaller venues, they will realize. Yeah. And then I think
For
Wembley
certain.
Wembley in the fall.
Anna's shaking her head pretty aggressively now.
Okay, I misspoke. It's going to be the O2 Arena in London. Sorry, not Wembley.
Tweet, I've been enjoying. Dana Donnelly tweeted, I would do anything for my family except spend more than 2 days straight with them ever again. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
It's from Deaton Chris Anthony, who's like a designer and producer and all kind. This person wears many hats. But this song, featuring Claro, Coco, and Claire, it goes. It's called Race Car, and it's just like, I don't know, it feels like some shit you would hear playing in Corbin Dallas's cab at Fifth Avenue or something, like if hip-hop was around in that dimension.
Mm, it is.
Yeah.
It's gotta be.
I don't know why I thought
of Corbin. Chris Tucker was supposed to be played by Prince.
Who was?
Chris Tucker's character was supposed to be played by Prince.
Ruby Rod?
Yeah. That.
What?
Yeah. Isn't that wild?
See, that's why Prince probably passed away. Right?
No.
You should have played Ruby.
I think it was drug addiction. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for today. We will be back on Monday. You guys have a great weekend now. Be here. I don't know. Also, buy tickets for our live show. Did you say Saturday, 25th, 8 p.m. at Gateway Theater?
I did, Grandpa.
Okay. What's a live show?
You microwaved your socks again, too. It's not how you're going to dry them.
Oh, shit. All right. We'll talk to you guys on Monday. Actually, we'll talk to you this afternoon for a trending episode. Jesus. Where am I?
Uh-oh. Call a doctor.
Oh, boy. Bye.
Bye.
Everyone tell me I'm crazy, picking up a boy that drives a Camry. Hey. Yeah, I just wanna be your lady, roll one up and we can get hazy. Maybe I'm a race car driver, speedy bitch, catch up, need a reminder. I get sassy like a tiger, one look at me, know what you're talking about. Alright, okay, alright, okay.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.